Lord,
take a deep breath. You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. Revolution is on. And David is calling from Los Angeles, and you're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. You're listening to Revolution and Evolution. You're listening to real people. You're listening to technologies that are so old, they're brilliant and new. And from our kitchens and bedrooms, from our house to your house, welcome. And if you've listened to the show before, you know, when you listen to the show, you turn the lights down low. Here she is.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, and it's almost Eros Day. It's Eros Day month. We've been watching the Eros Day Carnival, and we're going to now do some other Eros Day show, and we keep going around and doing different Eros Days, and it's almost our time for Eros Day Live, January 19th, here at Dr. Suzy's Speakeasy. Praise be to the power and glory of Eros, God of lust, God of love, God of life. Radiant, phallic, planetoid, Holy Spirit of sex. O Eros, give us the breath of life. O planetoid, come close to us tonight. Release the spirit of sex within us, the spirit that created us from sex, the spirit that stimulates, comforts, and inspires us through sex, the spirit that makes us horny. Praise be to the power and glory of Eros. Live long. Fuck well, touch others. Peace on earth, pleasure for all. Amen. Amen.
All right, we have a caller from Los Angeles.
We have a caller.
California. Yep. Okay. As soon as here we go. All right. Hi, caller.
Who's the doctor at?
Oh,
right,
I'm
here.
Right here.
Hi, baby.
Hi, baby.
What's going on?
Happy Eros Day month.
Say what?
What's going on?
Nothing. I'm just looking at porn.
You're just there hearing. Looking at porn. Okay. What kind of porn?
Some black dude's getting a girl right now.
Oh, okay. So? Yeah, that's nice. Oh, really? You're good at that?
Huh?
Are you a cunning linguist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's nice.
Huh?
Girls like that. Yeah.
Is it pussy wet?
Is my pussy wet? Is my pussy wet? That is the big question.
It was
sure
wet last night.
Well, last night,
yeah.
Yeah,
it was really wet.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just stick my cock in your pussy, baby.
Oh, wow. Like how exciting.
You would like that, huh?
You
like to suck dick too, baby.
Whoa.
Huh?
We're getting very intimate, aren't we? So, what have you been, how did you call me? Did you see my TV show, or what, or did you just find my number and on a bathroom wall, or what?
I can barely hear you.
Yeah, well.
What color are your panties? Do you have any panties on?
I asked you, where did you find out about me to call me and ask me about my panties?
I used to have cable.
You used to have cable?
Yeah, I don't got it anymore.
And so you watched me when you had cable? On cable? I see. And what made you call me tonight?
Because I always had your number written down.
Oh, I see. Wow, you got really lucky. You got me. Did you know you were going to get to talk to me tonight? For free? Do you know you're on my show?
Am I?
Yeah. You want to eat some pussy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pussy.
Let me hear how you eat pussy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let me hear how your tongue laps at the pussy.
You hear that?
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's pretty good.
And I ain't no ugly dude, baby.
No ugly dude.
I work out and I'm very athletic, so.
Is that right? Really? Muscular? Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know. That's nice. So then what's a nice young muscular dude like you doing all alone tonight?
Well, I mess with girls here and there.
Yeah.
But I live alone.
Yeah.
And I'm just horny right now.
There's no girl you want to be with tonight?
I wish you were here.
Oh. No girlfriend?
I want to stick it in your ass.
Oh, now we're going around my ass. Wow.
Like it in the ass.
Huh? That's a little sudden, you know.
Huh?
We just went from, you know, a little light pussy licking to sticking it in my ass.
Yeah, because the ass is much tighter than the pussy.
Mm. Well, that's nice for you.
Huh?
I don't think I want to do it in my ass so quickly, darling.
Why, baby? It hurts or what?
Well, yeah, if you did it that quick, it would hurt. Yeah, that would be uncomfortable for the woman.
Well, I could stick it in slowly.
Slowly, I see.
Just the head. The can you just imagine that?
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
where's all the rest of the females that used to be on your show?
Oh, the rest of the females?
Mm-hmm.
You want another female?
I remember there should be a black girl with a big old ass.
You want to stick it in hers, huh?
Fuck yeah, I love big asses like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do different kinds of shows. Sometimes I do big party shows with lots of girls, like I'm going to do on Eros Day. Next Saturday, and tonight is just me and Brother Dave. Would you like to hear about his booty?
Nah.
Well, it's just me and him tonight. We're just doing a radio show.
What do you do your show?
And Sarah's listening. Sarah, why don't you put yourself into waiting?
Is Sarah there?
To talk to Dave.
Really?
See if he turns you on.
I ain't trying to hear no Dave. I want to hear female.
What? What's your name? I thought your name was Dave. What is your name?
Mine?
Yeah.
Dave. David.
That's right. David. Okay.
Well,
I was trying to get Sarah to talk to you, but you're obviously not enticing her. Sarah is listening right now. And
hi, Sarah.
Why don't you try to entice her
into
talking to you?
Hi, baby. Sarah?
She's listening, and if she wants to talk to you, she will.
Sarah, I wish you were here, baby.
She's about, what is Sarah, about 24 years old?
Yeah, she's hot.
Yeah, she's a very hot young lady.
Ooh.
Yeah, very sexy.
I bet she's very tight, huh?
I would imagine she's very tight, yeah.
She's tight, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, very tight.
She got it, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, let's see if you can entice her.
Sarah?
Tell Sarah why she should talk to you and talk dirty with you.
Because I got a big hard cock, Sarah. I know you want it. I could eat you up while you suck my cock, baby. You like that?
I don't know if she likes that. She's just sitting there listening.
Listening.
Is she tripping out on me or what?
I don't know. She's not saying anything. Hey, Sarah. Are you tripping out?
Hey, look at this pervert, huh? I ain't no pervert. Get that straight. I'm just horny.
Just horny. Yeah. I know.
Man,
I know. Horniness
is
in the
air. I wish I had cable to watch your show. Because I sure miss watching you.
Yeah, you should have cable. What's the matter with you? Falling on hard times?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Mm.
I remember old men used to call you, like, some old man. He was like, oh, I love you. I love everybody. I want to marry everybody. Oh, I want to marry my dog. I was laughing when he was saying that.
Oh, really?
Crazy-ass old man.
An old man who wanted to marry everybody.
I know, that's crazy, though.
Well,
sounds
good.
Where do you guys do your shows at?
L.A.
In L.A.? Oh, I'm from L.A., too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you come on, what, every day at 11, or...?
Yeah, with the radio show, yeah. We do the TV show just, you know, once
on
every...
Saturdays?
Certain Saturdays, yeah.
But not every Saturday?
Well, every Saturday it airs on cable TV.
Okay.
In L.A. It is on the air. But we do live tapings once every 6 weeks, about.
Well, how about you invite me to a taping one day?
Well...
But you won't regret it.
You could submit your picture to me in an email,
okay.
And we could have the ladies of the speakeasy, you know, kind of vote on you. My email address is Dr. Susan Block, DrSusan,
mm-hmm.
BLOCK, @gmail.com.
Okay, so I just submit a picture then?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Dr. Susan Block
you,
at
okay.
gmail.com. All right. So,
all right. Thanks for listening.
You take care, darling.
Okay, you too.
Okay.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
Right.
Well, he became all humble in the end.
No, he was great. Nice,
he's
nice man.
Guy, yeah.
Nice guy. He certainly doesn't want to be out of, you know, he wants to come to the show, so he's got to be very cool. Everything's
cool. He got
cool.
A little cooler. I think in the beginning he was acting like he was making an obscene phone call.
Right.
A little bit.
Right.
Like he had this number. He wasn't even watching the show anymore.
Right.
Because he doesn't have
cable
anymore.
More.
So he was just like, it was almost like he found my number on the ground. Except it was his ground.
No, he kept the number for years.
He kept the number for years, right.
Yeah.
And he didn't watch the show anymore because he doesn't have cable. Because he's fallen on hard times. So we'll see. With the girls and the guy.
All right, so.
So in the meantime.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. You're listening to Revolution and Evolution. Skypers and diapers and revolutionaries everywhere, stand up.
And be counted.
And be counted. Fascism is all around us. And we have to liberate ourselves. As we liberate ourselves, we liberate the world.
And if you're in Skype, you can put yourself into the waiting room, and we will put you into talking. If you want to talk, you can talk about Eros Day, the power of Eros, the power of love, lust, passion in our lives. You can talk about the elections that are going on here in America. We're having some primaries right now. It's kind of exciting. Kind of exciting when here in America, a fairly conservative, patriarchal
bastion,
we've got one woman candidate and
one black person
candidate.
One Hispanic.
Who's the Hispanic?
Richardson.
Richardson's Hispanic?
Who probably has the most, experience.
Yeah.
He was a cabinet member of Billy.
Oh, okay.
He was an ambassador.
Yeah.
He was a governor, and he's an incredible man, but he's going to be shut out.
Yeah, he nobody likes him. I mean,
no.
Not enough to vote for him. People kind of like him, but they don't want to vote for him.
Right.
It's a strange kind of chemistry you have to have with voters to get their support. It's a kind of love affair. People have to love you in a way.
And I was reading today about New Hampshire, and people in New Hampshire said, listen, we want the debate to go on longer.
Yeah, everybody was ready to coronate Obama.
Right. And
you know?
They said, no, hold it. Hold
right.
on a second.
And, you know, I mean, I kind of like Obama. I mean, certainly I like him
I
better
like
than...
I like Obama, too. I really do.
McCain.
Yeah, and I certainly don't want to be a racist because he's black, but it's not about that. It's because he can't win. This is a McGovern play again.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if I agree with you there.
You don't have to agree.
I don't agree any more than that Hillary can win. I don't know if Hillary can win. She being a woman. A lot of people in this country, women and men alike, would not want to vote for a woman.
Hillary is going to be the next president of the United States. Mm-hmm. With Billy in the background. And there's going to be stuff going on in the White
yeah,
House.
Yeah, well, I think she's got a good chance.
Yeah.
I do. I agree that she... she's off to a strong start here, a very, very strong start. And Billy is working hard, losing his voice completely.
He has always done
and
that.
And he, oh man, when he was tearing into Obama, the bottom part of his shirt was showing from under his suit jacket. It looked like he had had, a few too many McDonald's hamburgers after he had the suit put on. I don't know. He just...
Come on, he's a relic like I am.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I love him in a way. Of course, we defended him.
I adore the man. Really.
So it's interesting, and they're both part of our time, and in a way, it would be good payback to get them back in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Against the Republican coup de toit that got them impeached.
No, he didn't get impeached.
He did get impeached.
Well,
he wasn't forced out of office.
Right.
They couldn't vote to push him out of office, but they did. The Senate pushes him out of office, but the House of Representatives did impeach them. All those nasty little Puritans. We've got Paul. Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Hello, you two. Good morning.
Good
evening.
Morning.
Or whatever it is.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, Phil. Yeah. I listened to you. You asked, we can talk about politics, but
yes.
We did last time too.
Yes.
For Eros Day. So tell me a little bit about your Eros Day. You have no idea.
Eros Day.
How you do it or what you do.
Is a holiday. This will be our 9th year celebrating it. It was brought to us by Lossie Braun, and it celebrates the power of Eros in our lives. Eros being a great and powerful god what do you mean? Will you interrupt? I'm trying to explain.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, redhead doctor.
Where are you going with this? Why are you interrupting me?
Okay.
This is my spiel.
Go ahead.
There's three aspects to Eros. The god, the Greco-Roman god of love and life and lust, who breathed the breath of life into the world at the beginning of time. This is what I call the first blowjob. And we have Eros, the planetoid, who is a bigger than an asteroid, smaller than a planet. It's shaped like a curved banana, and it is coming closer to Earth. It is closest to Earth at this time of year, and so we celebrate the proximity of the planetoid Eros, and we celebrate the spirit of Eros in our lives. Okay, I'm done now.
Okay,
everyone wants to interrupt me. All you guys. Okay,
I'm just trying to get across
what Eros is.
Wait. Eros resides in our crotch.
The spirit of Eros in our lives.
Right.
And that is love, lust, and passion, and, all that good stuff.
So
and all related to related to bananas, eh?
Bananas are an ongoing theme in
very
Eros
important
Day.
To export bananas from the different banana republics.
Right.
So you don't talk now specifically with me, no? Well, we have bananas too.
Yes.
Do you?
Very close to it.
Well, most of us guys have bananas. I don't know about anybody else.
And most of us girls, we like bananas.
And the girls like bananas.
But we do. I like mine best with the peel on. I like to unpeel them myself.
Yeah. That's the good part. You know, one other thing I wanted to ask you, Susan.
Yeah.
Is, you know, we talked long time ago once about this special orgasm, what you can have before an orgasm with, I forgot the name, and there was a lady on your show, and I said, I want to show it. I want my wife to learn it, and she's interesting, but I couldn't find this book or the technique, and I spoke with another lady once on the Skype, and she explained me a little bit because she says she does it sometimes, but she couldn't. She said something. She has to have a full bladder or whatever, what she said. I don't know. And so my wife said, when I told her this, she said, "Why, you're a fool. First you tell me it's a great thing, and then you cannot even bring me the stuff or explain what it is or how to do it." I have no idea. You remember?
You're speaking of female ejaculation.
Exactly this I'm speaking of, yes.
Holy water.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, did you read my article on female ejaculation? It's on my website.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I saw it. Is it there explained?
Oh, yes.
I explain it pretty well.
It's very much detailed.
I mean, it's always best to look at it, to
but
watch
what
it in the video, but the article explains a lot about how to do it.
What you do is you send your wife here. Okay, you stay. You stay where you are.
Send your wife to Brother Dave.
Yeah.
Brother Dave's camp for wives.
Camps for wives. Yeah.
Brother
God.
Dave is the head counselor for the wives.
No, I'm just an old guy with a hat on his head. Not much hair, but a hat.
So anyways, if you write to me at drsusanblock@gmail.com, I will send you the exact URL.
Yeah.
But basically it's drsusanblock.com/squirt/femaleejaculation.htm.
But basically, just go to the front page, and there's links to the squirting sections.
Yeah, actually, if you go on the front page, you'll see that at the top of the front page, there's different,
It's in the right-hand column, Squirt Index.
Squirt Index. It's,
right.
It's above. You can click on Squirt on the navigation bar. There's a navigation bar that says Squirt, and you go to our Squirting Index. And, of course, the first couple entries are for our DVD and videos, but then you'll see an article that's free to read.
But we have a very interactive website, so if you take a straw and plug it in, right, and then go to Squirt, all of a sudden it'll squirt right out of the computer.
There you go.
Okay. Great stuff. Yeah. Thank you very much for this advice.
You're welcome. Okay, so we've talked about Aerostay, female ejaculation, and now politics?
Now, tell us about politics.
Well, you've been following our American primaries here.
What are we going to do with these people that are running for president?
Well, if I would know the solution, that would be fine. I didn't look the last 2 days, but I told you, and you didn't agree to me, Dave, that Obama, I liked him, actually, but...
He lost yesterday.
So he did. He lost.
He lost.
Hillary won.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he lost by, I think, 3%.
3%?
She, yeah, she
but
won.
But they said that he was going to win by 12.
Right.
But
Hillary won.
Hillary
won the Democrats, and John McCain won the Republicans. So...
Hmm. That's interesting. So nobody knows nothing now.
Nobody.
They don't know who's going to win.
Nobody knows anything.
Which is the way it should be. We should have a good horse race here.
Yeah,
nobody knows.
Yeah. Dave, Maybe Dave, Brother Dave knows.
Yes.
Because he says it was last time very convinced about the whole thing.
Well, he believes that Hillary is going to win, and he's very sure of himself.
Here's what I really believe.
I'm sitting back a little more.
Whether it's Hillary or Obama, first of all of them have to be members of the Trilateral Commission before they can win an American presidential election.
There's some kind of organization that's a front for that,
right.
Something for democracy or
right.
something, I don't know.
And it's all a front. It's all really about corporations around the world. I don't know where you live or where I live, but it's about corporate domination of the world. And really, what it's really about is about individual rights, individual liberties.
What it's really about is choosing a face for the product that the corporations are sponsoring, which is the American government. And that product, at the moment, specializes in making war, which sort of sucks.
You know, last night I was talking to a man from Iraq, an Iraqi Kurd, a Kurdish man.
Kurdistan.
Very nice man. And he truly believes that George Bush came in to liberate him.
Well, no. He believes that George Bush came in there because he wanted oil. But he thinks that a nice side benefit of that is that he has been liberated from Saddam.
And now...
Do you know, sir?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I was in a party 2 days ago. There was an American film producer. There was local people from here. There was someone from I don't know where. And we were talking about this Bush and all these things, liberating and so on. And you wouldn't believe that a number of people say, well, at least for Sri Lanka, this government was great because they made terrorism, you know, banned and so on. So maybe they are true, because I said, well, I don't like this politics very much, but I cannot judge it. You know, we all judge from the outside as readers and television lookers what is behind the scenes going on, what they all arrange between themselves. We actually don't know, no?
Well,
basically what's being arranged is the money.
How
to finance the campaigns.
Sure.
That's number one. It's very basic. It's and in exchange for the money, the candidates have to comply. They have to do whatever they're being paid to do. Like, they're working for someone, for something, for an organization, or for a bunch of organizations.
And as we all do.
It's pretty simple. It's kind of unavoidable. It's just that you have to make, the only thing we can hope to do is to somehow make these corporations, as well as the candidates, responsible to us, the people.
Yeah.
And it's not easy.
It's always a struggle. It's always a struggle because, you know, when you have the money and these corporations have huge amounts of money, more than an individual person for the most part.
But on the other hand, here's the great hope, okay?
Hope.
Yeah, the great
I want to talk about hope in a minute, because hope is a word that is getting used
more and more.
More and more. And overused.
Right.
And
the great hope is here that we can subverse and pervert these corporations, not on a corporate level, but on an individual level.
Well, the Internet does give us a chance to do that.
I don't understand what you said now.
Well, he's saying we want to subvert the corporations.
We need to subvert the corporations.
And sort of like using Taekwondo, or you sort of use their big bulkiness against them.
Right.
And you act as an individual, and you you do it in a more or less like a martial arts kind of way. And I would say that that's what people are doing more and more on the
more
Internet.
More and more, yeah,
you know,
more and more.
And in a way, these candidates are a little bit like that, although the presidential election is still such a huge undertaking. It's so huge. That's
costs
what
millions of costs.
So they're still totally corporate-sponsored. But maybe it is a sign of change that you have a woman and a half-black guy running already here. That's
right.
That's
And a Hispanic.
Yeah, and a Hispanic. But no. He ran last time. Bill Richardson. Didn't he run against Al Gore? He did.
Yeah, he did.
But I want to talk about hope for a second, because it's kind of annoying. Right. I mean, in a way. Because, first of all, you know, Obama's using this term hope. Like, he's offering hope. Because why? Because of people's fantasies. It's like saying the word fantasy, hope. What is hope but a fantasy? Hope is not real. Hope is something that everyone has in their hearts. And when you talk about hope as a politician, I can't help but think that you are simply and blatantly playing on our own fantasies and heartstrings, and that's, it's, excuse me, but bullshit. I mean, anybody can say that I'm for hope. Who's not for hope? I mean, really? What is that? There's no substance to that.
There's a lot of people that are
for sick of, and you know, Clinton did it, 16 years ago, didn't he? Clinton was all about hope. He was the man from hope. And we lived on Hope Street.
He hoped, actually, he gets another blowjob.
Yeah, you know, well, you can only hope.
We all hope that.
We all hope for that. So what is the big deal about politicians offering hope? What is that? I just think that's, I don't know, there's something disingenuous about it.
I think it's anyway, but there are a lot of people, I think it's a naive way to look at this and believe the politicians in principle what they say when they campaign. Because it's on the whole world that it's actually most times the opposite, what they do then later.
Of course.
Of course there are some programs, so if one is playing on hope, he plays on this side of people, maybe tries to manipulate. The other one does it in another way with economic things. So
here's what the election is all about in America. Let me tell you, this is about the American people voting for who they want to see on their television sets and who they want to see, you know, in the news in general all the time, the face that they want to put on the government, on the war, on all of that. Because this person, what they're saying, first of all, they're all saying vacuous things. Totally, I mean, the hope thing is just one of the vacuous things. And, you know, they're all going to fight the war better and end, you know, but it's not really going to end. And it's all bull. It's about getting a look at these candidates, seeing Hillary, whether those are tears in her eyes, looking at Barack and thinking, now which part of him is black and which part of him is white? And looking at these people and hearing them talk and just thinking, do I want to hear that for the next 4 years? Because that's why people voted for Bush, George Bush. Because even though they thought he was a dumbskull, they still thought, you know, he's kind of entertaining, and I don't mind seeing him on my TV for the next 4 years, or 8 years, as the case was with him. They didn't want to see Al Gore, because Al Gore lectured them, or something. They didn't want to see...
But Susan...
What?
Susan, if it is someone for entertaining, then this other guy should have won. What was this guy from Texas, or where did he come? On the last election, he spoke so much.
Kerry wasn't entertaining. He was a bore. Are you kidding?
No.
People didn't
want to
hear.
No. This one who financed his own money all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy nut.
No, but he went a little too... You know, you can't be a crazy nut. The American people want someone like Andy Griffith. You know, someone that you want to want, like Oprah, except maybe
let me
a black woman, like someone like that. They want someone that they can feel comfortable with.
Let me interject.
That's all it's about. And that's why it's so pathetic that politics even enters the equation.
Let me interject this too, Paul. And I said this on French radio with Susan. America wants to dominate. America wants to make sure that her empire lasts longer, just like somebody fucking. But the reality of it is that America uses its military power to gain advantage.
Sure.
Yeah. And make no mistake about it, when Russia fell, America became the dominant power, and America and American military might is a bully, and it wants to take your candy away. Make no mistake about it.
Okay, we have... he just disappeared. We had someone in waiting named Deputy World Commander who has done this many times, but he always flashes
He'll come
me.
Back. He'll come back.
And then he moved away.
But that's the reality of it. We are the world-dominant military power.
But what does this have to do with the election?
The elections are about the next person that comes in is still going to use the military to protect the American people in a worldwide revolution that's taking place right now. And that revolution is about the freedom of people all over the world. And we cannot be dominated by one power. I cannot be dominated by one government. And as I told our Iraqi friend last night, you have to get your own liberty.
Okay, we have Deputy World Commander in waiting. I'm not going to move Paul down yet, but I'm just moving.
You can be in there, Paul.
Hang on. Hello, Deputy World Commander. Ta-dum, ta-dum, ta-dum.
And now?
Can you hear me?
Okay, I'm going to pump you up here a little bit.
I'm having trouble hearing the deputy.
Okay, go ahead, deputy.
Not very commanding so far. Okay, what? Yes.
We will not.
Whoops. Oh, Paul, now you have to keep your voice down.
You have to be quiet a little bit so we can listen to him.
Because Deputy World Commander is obviously at a different level of vocalization than you.
And Skype. So.
Okay, hello.
Go ahead, Deputy.
Deputy.
Can you hear me now?
A little better.
Barely,
but a little better.
I've got a headset on, but I'm getting some reverberations.
No, you're sounding good.
You know what? I'm going to... Paul,
don't take
offense. I'm going to move Paul down into listening.
Okay, go ahead for now.
Because maybe Paul's interfering a little.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later. Okay, ciao for now.
Hi.
Okay. So, hi, Deputy.
Is it any better now?
Yeah, it's
a little better.
Yeah.
No, he's doing good on the thing.
Okay, so, welcome to Radio Susie 1.
How you doing, Deputy?
Good, very, very good. What I wanted to comment on is what you were just stating, and that is the truth as far as military dominance.
Right, of course.
Why we're, into the space thing, he who controls space controls the world. I don't see that being an issue with our military. I don't see that as being an issue, that we maintain our military strength.
No, not at all. As a society, as any nation, that's ultimately what it's about, to control and dominate our areas, our spheres of interest.
Well, exactly. And I think as a country, we have the sophistication to lead, and that's what we're doing. And I know people that take exception to that, but I like America the way it is. I don't want to divide our wealth, our work ethic, and so on and so forth to third world countries. It's less than high.
Is that why you're a Deputy World Commander?
Exactly.
That's correct. Right. You're right, Doctor.
It's a benevolent dictator, actually.
You're a benevolent dictator. What makes you so benevolent? What do you let the peons do every holiday? Kind of have a little festival? Or
if that's what they like, that's what they should do.
Oh, okay. So...
But no, I just wanted to comment on his... I think we are certainly overseas. Part of that is oil. But ask any American, do they want to cut back on their life? Do they want less plastic products, petroleum byproducts? I don't think so, and I think that we have the strength, and I think we have to maintain our own interest.
Well, Brother Dave, now, he's agreeing with you that's why we're over there, but, he thinks we should be over there for that reason.
Let me tell you this, then, and this is a slightly crippled old man, is that we hold that position, and every nation in the world holds that position. Iran holds that position. They say, what do you mean we can't have nuclear weapons? Because we're not white? We're going to also dominate. We're going to dominate our sphere of interest. Gaetano Filangieri, who was a philosopher of the 1800s, said, we each should have a balance of power. And when we say as Americans that we have to dominate our sphere of influence, so does Iran, so does China, they say, wait a minute, these people want to control, and we want a balance of power.
Do you want that, Deputy World Commander? Doesn't sound like it. Sounds like you want the world.
No, I don't want the balance of power. I think it's dangerous. I think that when you have radical countries with the ability to create nuclear war, I think the United States is more capable of maintaining a stable factor.
And Iran thinks the same thing. China certainly has a slow rising, and they believe the same thing, and they're building weapons. They're building weapons that can take out satellites, American satellites. And so you're absolutely correct. The view of the world is that we must protect the motherland. And as the only power in the world today, we have challenges around the world that are saying, wait a minute. Wait one second here. We also want to dominate our sphere of interest.
Well, the Deputy World Commander would try to, put down those kinds of revolutions.
No, I understand that. I absolutely understand it. Now, the question is, can we go beyond that? Because Earth, at this point, Mother Earth, is very tired. We're running out of resources. I was born and there were 1.5 billion people. Now there's 6 billion people. We have no water. California has no water. We live in the
desert. But you see, when we set things up as nation states and we compete with each other, we're going to keep making more and more babies.
Of course.
Because we don't see the population as the world population. What we see is
we
need more people in our tribe, in our nation,
to fight these other nations.
That's what's needed. So as long as we have the nation... What is that? Is that us?
I got to throw it out.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Deputy Commander for...
Are you there?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, I came back in.
Sorry, you're breaking up a lot tonight. And, you know, I always enjoy...
Okay.
I always enjoy talking to you.
All right, we'll talk another time.
Okay, you take care. All right.
Okay, well... For two guys on opposite ends of the political spectrum, you certainly agree with each other.
I totally agree, and I understand, and that's where the balance of power comes in, or we destroy each other.
But he doesn't want a balance of power. He wants the United States
to
command the world.
Right, and so does China.
And which the United States kind of does right now, is the lone superpower. Right.
But Russia is now building... missiles.
Yeah, but they have. You know, we're in a. That's what he would say. We have to combat. Is all those forces coming
and
up?
And I agree. The problem is.
You agree.
That it's not about that.
That what's not about that?
It's not about combating each other. It's about living in harmony, in a world that is losing its resources.
But he thinks he's going to lose his lifestyle. And he thinks a lot of Americans think
he's
that.
He's going to be dead pretty soon.
Right about that.
He's going to be dead pretty soon like me. So, you know, that's gone.
Jock Hayes, hello.
Hi, Jock.
Hi, everyone. Hello. Yes, well, I want to say that I fully agree with the Deputy World Commander because I think myself that the United States must be the dominated country in the world. Myself, I'm not an American. Well, I'm a Georgian, but I heard that you were talking about the Russia and the balance of power and everything. Well, it's good to have a balance of power, but it's very difficult in our days because, you know, the mentality of Russia and, for example, China and such kind of country is very difficult, you know. They have the communistic mentality, and it's very difficult to keep them to. It's very difficult to for them to keep the balance of power. It's a real that everyone wants to be the dominated, to be the dominate in the world. But you know, the mentality is the main thing. For example, I fully support the United States in his military. For example.
Well, you're Georgian. You're in, totally into war.
He's a Georgian Air
yes.
Force
right,
guy.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're totally into
yeah.
war.
Yeah,
the,
it's a way
the,
of life.
Yes.
The problem is that Mother Earth is going to fuck you. Because
yes,
it's.
Unfortunately,
yes. Yes. Unfortunately, that's the reality.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
That's the reality.
So we have the make love, not war mentality to deal with that reality.
And to be friends and to trade.
Yes, we have to make love, but it's not 60s and it's not the Woodstock, you know?
No, it's not Woodstock.
No.
It's trading. What do you got and I'll trade with you? And hey, I hear the Georgian women are really great. Hot.
Are you trading me
woman.
For a Georgian woman now? Is that what's going
good.
On here? I'm being traded.
I'm going to send you to
I'm being
Georgia.
Traded for peace. This is trading women for peace. That's what we're doing.
Yeah,
here.
And to care about each other and not to kill each other and to try to find
yes.
other ways.
Just because it's uncivilized. It, really.
You know, gentlemen, and, well, the Russia is very... I know what kind of relations do you have with Russia, but I will say what. I was born in Soviet time when it was the United Soviet Socialistic Republics, and
right.
everything was forbidden. Everything was restricted. For example, my father was cut by police,
yeah.
by militia, Soviet militia, because he was listening to Jimi Hendrix.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It was forbidden to listen to Jimi Hendrix and Beatles and everything.
Yeah.
Wow, that
telling,
touches
they
at my
telling,
heartstrings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very strange, but
well,
it's,
you know what we did in America, right? We hung black.
Yes.
We hung niggers that fucked white women.
Yeah, lynchings.
Yeah, lynchings.
It's
we
true.
All
every,
have,
every
we all have our sins.
Every country has its sins.
Every
and its,
country,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Every country has it. But what I want to say that the Russia, it will be the fatal. It will be fatal that if Russia will take the control of the world, you know, the Russian people. I'm not against it for Russian people.
The Russian
know?
People are great.
Yeah, people are great, but you know, the politicians are very strange people. They think that they have the great Velika Derzhava, they call so the
yeah.
Derzhava, yeah, they call themselves, yeah. But they want to control the world, yes.
Of course.
All the politicians
also,
want to control
yes.
the world. That's why they put up
yes.
with the life of a
yes.
politician.
Yes, but for example, the United States also wants to control the world, but the United States where United States come. And where is the United States? There is a culture also. There is a democracy. Nobody know, as I know. I don't know how it's in the United States, but each country which I know, where the United States, where the United States Army is there, I think that it's good to have the United States control over a country.
As long as you're not on the wrong end of a U.S. bomb, I mean, then,
well,
of course, it's not so good.
Let me also say this, and I said to the Kurdish person last night, the revolution is in your hands. It's my children that are dying for your freedom. So
yeah.
you have to take up the weapons to take down the dictators. Because, let me tell you this, America is now broke. And this is not going to last much longer. And the empires that we live by no longer exist. So it is time for all of us. And real democracy is this. We are the people, we are the government. And we have to shed our blood for our people.
Yes, but...
I can't go around the world... Listen to me. I can't go around the world freeing people.
Well, but as you say, you know, Bush didn't go in there to free them anyway. He went
right.
in there for
he
oil.
Went for oil.
So the deaths are not to free them. The deaths of the American soldiers are... for the oil.
Yeah, this is the what, this is not the first president, but it is a president that, like Osama, like Saudi Arabia, these are oil men. They don't care about you. They don't give a shit about you.
Well, one thing is, all the candidates that are up now for president of the United States are not oil men. Not really.
Right.
They're not oil men.
Right. We have an industrial military complex that is creating a divide among great people all over the world who basically, like you and like the general, want peace in the world. We want peace. We want to live together. We want to trade. We want to fuck your women. You know?
That's what I want to do.
That, wouldn't you like to fuck a nice American girl?
Why not?
Why not, right? It's about peace.
Yeah, but I'm married.
Well, me too. So I'm a very nice boy. You know, but the reality is that we have to live together and we have to really support the habitat that we live in. And the habitat is struggling. It is struggling under weapons of mass destruction. It is struggling. You know what we're doing in Iraq? Spent fuels, spent nuclear weapons are in the bullets. Yeah. And we can't do that. We can't do that as Russians. We can't do it as Americans. We can't do it as anyone. We're in the killing fields here. We got to get into the trade business. You send me some stuff, I send you some stuff.
But the thing is, the stuff that America makes lately is weapons.
Weapons,
that's,
right.
That's what's
right.
made in America.
That's the only thing we make anymore in America.
So,
we don't make computers.
So
we don't make anything.
That's why it's a little tough to go into the trading business and get out of the war business for America. You know, Bush has often called himself a war president, but this is not really
but
a war. He's a war business president.
Right. And
it's
his father was.
This is a
and his
war
uncle,
business.
His grandfather was. They listen, they supplied the Nazis with weapons.
And, yeah. Yeah.
Bush doesn't care.
Whoa.
Yeah. This guy, the Bush family supplied the Nazis. The Rockefellers supplied the Nazis with weapons.
I didn't know this information.
Yeah. No, that's,
no? Oh,
that's
pretty
truth.
Common knowledge here in the United States.
And on the Internet. If you look at the history of the Bushes, it's all about weapons and war and oil. And
whoa.
Yeah. And what I care about is you and me. Because democracy
yeah.
is about us. It's not about them. These are just like any government. They're opportunistic. They want war. They want territories. The world is my world.
And all politicians are like that, but some are worse than others.
Yeah.
You know, and the Bush crime family is among the lowest of the American oil-driven politician.
What I want to ask, you have the elections now, yeah?
That's
very
what we're
soon.
Going through, yeah.
Yeah.
We're in primaries.
And, yes, and does the American people support Bush or...
Nobody.
No, nobody does.
Anymore.
Of course, he's not running.
Yeah.
Because... You know, he's done. He's done,
done
his two terms. But nobody supports him anymore. I mean, even the,
about
the Republican candidates are distancing themselves from him. They don't try to emphasize their friendliness with him.
So nobody wants him again, yeah?
No.
Not, you know, I mean,
yeah,
the thing is,
people.
There are people that protect him from impeachment, which he more than deserves. I mean, he does have a lot of protection, but he doesn't have enthusiasm anymore. He doesn't have the energy of any people. Even the religious people, I think, are not too thrilled with him for various reasons. But But certainly everybody else.
The more it has, the more chance to be winner.
You know, it really, let me tell you this, and I hate to say this, it's no different than Russia. There's not a one man, one vote, a one person, one vote. The caucuses, the elect the president. So a president here in the United States could get the popular vote and lose the election.
Right. Like Al Gore got the popular vote and Bush won the election.
Because ultimately the government and the corporations decide who is going to be president of this country. Just like Russia.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about earlier, how the corporations are funding all of the candidates' campaigns.
And they pay for all of them. They give to the Democrats, they give to the... what they don't give to is the radical element that wants real change. Obama says he wants change. There's no change.
Yeah, he wants a change. He wants to be in the Oval Office instead of the other person.
Yeah,
be the change.
I don't like my house.
Change is coming.
Right.
Yeah.
Change is coming. I'm moving.
Change. All that. I like Obama.
I like Obama. He's a nice man, you know. But
he's better than Bush. A lot better.
A lot better than Bush. But ultimately, the change is that he wants to go to the White House, you know. But nothing's going to change.
Well,
because America,
all the candidates are saying they represent change.
No, because
every candidate represents change.
No representative of this government today or the people that are running for election are saying we're going to be part of the world. We're going to change things in the world. We're going to bring... Why don't we have a Department of Peace? Can you imagine?
Yeah, some countries
Department
do.
Department of Peace.
Yeah. Why? Can you imagine that in this century, we do not have a Department of Peace?
I thought that the original Department of War was named the Department of War and Peace.
It was.
And then...
They dropped the peace
They
button.
Dropped the peace,
yeah.
And it became the Department of War,
yeah.
And then they changed it to Defense.
Yeah.
But it was originally the Department of War and Peace.
So
there you have it.
I'm not a racist, you know. I'm not a racist, really. But... in the history of the United States, there was no the black skin
president. No.
No.
And what about this?
Well, we have black skin secretary
will,
of state.
The new one.
We've never had a woman president.
Right.
Every other country, even in Pakistan.
Yeah.
You know, it is an exciting election here in the United States in the sense that I think that the American people are trying to say in some way we are sick of Bush and that old white men patriarchal way that just got us into this awful, ugly war, and we would like something else.
We should embrace our Arab brothers. We should embrace them. We should say, let's live in peace. We have to do that. We have to embrace our enemies and say, you do what you do. And listen, Mao Zedong was a murderous motherfucker, okay? But when Sukarno said to him, you have to bring troops in here to save this communist government, Mao Zedong said, if you don't have support of the people, fuck you.
Well, he didn't want to bring his troops in.
Well, but that's what he said, basically. I'm not sending troops there. If communism cannot live with the support of the people, then you don't have it. And he was out.
Yes. Yeah, there was a very strange thing in Georgia after the collapse of the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, the Georgia got its independence. Yeah?
Yeah.
And Shevardnadze became the president, yeah? The 15 years after the Soviet Union collapsed, during the 15 years, officially we were an independent country, democratic country, but nothing was here like in democratic countries. There was no freedom of speech, there was no freedom of press, and there was no freedom in any business.
Well,
no,
you know
freedom,
what?
You know?
We have a new government. It's called Skype. We don't need passports.
Right. Everyone has freedom of speech
and
here.
And everyone now, with the technology.
And nobody will catch you.
Right. And that will change the world because I'm sitting right here talking to you across borders that I could never cross. And we're talking.
And we've been in television and radio for a long time, and we've dealt with other forms of censorship. Maybe not the same as yours, but other forms of censorship, and we're liberated by the internet as well.
Well, let me sort of bloviate here. I know that where you are, there's been a lot of censorship, a lot of arrests. I've been prosecuted 23 times in this country for publishing.
Oh.
I went to jail. I got beat on the head. I got tortured. I laid on cement floors in the gulags of American prisons. 17 hours. I got put in cages. Here in America. So all governments are oppressive. But I believe this strongly. We are the people. And we will always rise up against these kinds of fascisms.
There's that hope thing.
Yeah, and that's the hope.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There are certainly prisons in every country, and as a matter of fact, the United States has more prisons than any country.
Yeah. In downtown, I live in downtown Los Angeles, and I want you to hear this. If I go...
You're from California?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
We live in beautiful, sunny Southern California.
We live in Los Angeles, and if I go down the street... If I go down the street here, if I go down the street six blocks, there are 18,000 people in prison.
18,000 people?
In Los Angeles.
In just one prison.
Yeah.
Simply only in Los Angeles, yeah? Only.
Only in Los Angeles.
And then you go another direction, you get 18,000 homeless people.
No. Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a lot of
so we have to be honest.
Poverty and oppression right here in America.
Yeah. And there's 2.5...
Yeah, it's a very big number for my country. It's very difficult to imagine.
There are 2,500,000 people in prison in this country.
Sorry, how much?
2,500,000 people are in prison in this country.
Prisons are a growth industry in the United States. A lot of people in prison for little drug crimes. People in prison for all kinds of things.
For parking tickets.
People get thrown in prison a lot.
Yeah. So this is the story that people don't know. And the story is that we are the people and we have to liberate ourselves from this kind of insanity.
And we have a lot of homeless people in this country, in this town, in this land of plenty. We do. A lot more than, other first world countries.
And
Europe.
How is the, what's about the jobs in the United States?
Well, we're now, after this disaster...
Is there a big unemployment?
At this point, it's now 6%.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot. 6%. That's millions of people.
But for the United States, it's a big number, yes?
Huge,
it's a big number for us.
Huge number out of 300 million people. Yeah.
God.
Well, Bush really drove the economy into the tank.
I saw many beggars and many homeless people, and I was very surprised because from my country, from other side, United States looks like it's heaven.
Yeah.
Well, the rich people live like heaven.
Rich people live like heaven.
And, there's a certain kind of Disneyland heaven for the middle class.
And let us say this, too. We are patriots, so I don't want to see that in my country. I'm not a rebel. I want to see people have a decent life.
I mean, didn't you see the pictures of Katrina and that kind of living condition that's right here in the United States was exposed by the hurricane.
And we took in Katrina people that had nothing.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
For a while.
So it's, you know, governments all over the world have to be questioned by people like you and me and say, what are you doing? And we have to be in the streets, and we have to be on our telephones, and we have to be on our internet, and we have to say enough is enough. Because democracy is we are the people.
And speaking of enough, I think we're out of time.
We're out of time.
All right. So we haven't had enough, yeah. But we've very much enjoyed speaking with the Georgian Air Force
yeah.
man.
Thank you.
Jakhadze?
Yes, it's my surname.
Okay. In Tbilisi, Georgia. And is this Hebrew, what you wrote here? Duty, honor, country. Lecha... what is this about me? In Hebrew?
Lechaim?
Lechaim!
Yes.
Oh, it says Lechaim.
It's Hebrew, yes. I'm not a Hebrew. We say Nachbam this.
Lechaim. Okay. Lechaim to you too. To life. And shalom.
Run your jets good. Be careful who you hit. And remember that whether we're flying Air Force planes...
We're landsmen. This guy's probably related to me.
Right.
You realize that I have... That's where my family comes from.
Yeah.
Her family comes from there.
Anyway, we'll talk again.
It was very interesting to have a conversation with you. And I want to say that I love your country. And I think that every American and every person who lives in the United States must be proud that he lives or she lives in the United States and she or he is American.
We're all very proud. I am very proud to be
right.
an American.
And we love your country, too.
We love your country. Well,
thank
we haven't been there.
God
but
right.
we're from there. God Take and care. Goddess bless us all.
Peace
America, Georgia.
Wow. That was intense.
It was. At first, I thought he was from, like, Atlanta. First, I thought the accent sounded.
But he spoke English so well.
And it said Georgia Air Force.
Right.
He's in the Georgia Air Force.
But he spoke English so well.
I know, exactly. He spoke English so well. And one thing I forgot to say to him, because, of course, you guys were talking so much, both
of
you. I know you were so excited
to
be talking to each other.
To be flying those jets.
I know. But he seemed like he was so well educated. And
he was.
I mean, he's 24 years old.
Better educated
and
than I am.
And wouldn't you say that most 24-year-olds that are in the Air Force in the United States
like
can't
him.
Talk like
right.
that? They're catatonic.
Right.
Let alone in a foreign language.
And also, there's something else that they're on. They're on speed.
Well, maybe
in
he
order,
was, too.
In yeah. order that they can kill.
Well,
you know that
that's got nothing to do with how smart you are.
Air Force pilots get speed.
Well, you know.
When they go on bombing
missions.
That's
not fair now. We shouldn't talk about that at the end of
oh,
the show.
Okay.
He can't defend himself.
No, not him.
Not him.
I'm talking about American Air Force pilots.
Well, probably a lot of Air Force pilots.
Too. Wow.
Anyway, God and Goddess bless America and Georgia and all the little countries of the world and the big countries. And I don't know, somehow I guess it comes from not really loving sports. You know, I don't like ganging up in countries and kind of identifying all that much. I'm a human being.
I want all the oil.
I'm a creature.
I want to take everything.
That's the mentality.
I want to take the last piece of candy that somebody has that I don't have. Because my way of life will never be destroyed, and I will conquer anyone
you know,
that tries
our
to
way of life
take away
is
my
changing
candy.
Changing all the time. Change. We're all about change. It's going to change. You might as well just go with the flow of change and peace rather than fighting and bombing. And I don't know that that is going to stall the inevitable change that will be upon us. Anyway. I believe in making like the bonobos, not the baboons. Making love, not war. So, until we meet again on the air somewhere tomorrow night, I want you to be good, be happy. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight. Even if that someone is you, I love you.
And you have been listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web, Worldwide Revolution, technology that's given to us by the military. And today in the world, there's wars everywhere. We're in the desert, and blood is being shed. And America cannot save the world. Let me just tell you that. America cannot save the world. We must, each one of us as individual, save our world. If we do anything other than that, it won't work. To Iraq, to the Kurds, and to the rest of the world, we send our children out there to defend, to fight for your freedoms. But we can only do that for so long. Because in the end, even the most powerful country in the world does not have the resources to save the world. From our house to your house, thank you for having us. I'm always honored and I'm always touched. And I am, because when the day ends and I do the show with my beautiful, beautiful lady, I understand that I'm talking to the world, a world without passports, a world without fear, a world without censorship, a world that's free to speak to each other. From my house to your house, thank you so much. See you tomorrow night. And right now, I don't know what you're doing or where you're going, but I'm going to go ahead and replay a show for you. And you can listen or you can leave, but thanks for listening.
Another man or woman from Hope. Give him some hope. Hope. No, that's not hope. You know what hope is.
Oh, hope is
yeah.